Well, we finished our week of prayer, 7 days so far. And the theme of our prayer time has been open doors. And that is based on a prophecy that Lee Grady spoke over the church last October. And we've learned when we receive something from God like that is to take it, and it just doesn't happen because someone said it. We have to believe it. And so we pray about it, and we speak it out. So I just want to start my message here by reading that to you. And I think we've got it on the screen. It's in your bulletin. God is opening up several significant doors, unusual doors, outreach doors, other doors you didn't think of. Open doors, doors to the immigrant community, a door to the troubled youth opening. Good News Church will experience an unfolding, inside turned outward, an ingathering. Good News Church will be turned up to the maximum love setting. I like that. And Good News will shine brighter than ever before because of their love for one another. And again, so that's in your bulletin, and we have that on our board every time we come together and pray, and so it's right there before us. And so we are taking hold of this. But it's really interesting, you know, if you look at that, I mean, there's a lot of things to pray about there, about ministry and what God's doing and the nations and this city and your lives and the vision God's given you. So many different things to pray about. But what we've been directed to pray about this first week is the last part, talking about the maximum love setting and praying about our love. You know, the great commandment that that Pastor Nate read for the offering message. And I have never, in all my years, 30-something years, have been a part of a church. We've had prayer times when I was at ORU, prayer times when I attended Victory Christian Center there. I've attended other churches here in town. Never have spent a week praying about God's love, ever. And so I think this is something significant. It's been very strong prayer time, and so something's happening, and really it's laying the foundation for our whole year. We're praying about the love of God working in us and through us. And we, you know, last Sunday I talked about fruit bearing and multiplication. Love is the foundation for fruit bearing. If you want to bear fruit, you've got to have a strong foundation of love. So in order to grow, in order to change, in order to move forward, who wants to grow? Anybody want to move forward? You have to have a revelation of God's great love for you. Let's go over to Titus chapter 3. And in verse 3, anybody spend any time in Titus this week? Anybody? I'll read this to you in the Message translation. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid. Turn to your neighbor and say, there was a time that you were stupid. And then add, but not now. Justin, he wouldn't even go there. He's not looking at anybody. You stupid and stubborn dupes of sin. I mean, we got a whole lot of things we could say to each other right now. Ordered every which way by our glands. That's good. For those that understand that, we'll talk after service. Going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. That's who we used to be, right? According to the Word. And that's what we were before we met Jesus. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, He saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with Him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, an eternity of life. So this Christian life, it begins with a revelation of God's great love. And that love, as when we receive it, we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, it comes flooding into our lives and according to this, gives us a bath, spiritual bath. But, I mean, there's a lot happening, a regeneration of our spirit man raises that dead spirit to life. And that change impacts our minds, impacts our bodies. But you have to have that revelation. And in Ephesians 3, let's go there. We've talked about this already, but Paul's praying about this revelation of God's love. Verse 17, may Christ through your faith. And so the Apostle Paul, you know, he's the guy. I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had a revelation of righteousness and who we are in Christ and so many different things. And so he had these prayers in Ephesians, Philippians, other parts of the New Testament. And this is an important prayer to pray right here. And so if he prayed it, as great a man and a believer that he was, shouldn't we also be praying this? May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love. Rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That's what we need. We need that foundation, deep roots. That you may have the power and to be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. It's not just an understanding, it's a heart revelation. It's not like, you know, textbook learning. You got to memorize something for the test. It's a revelation. It's a understanding that you have in your heart that impacts your entire life, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. You may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now this does take prayer. This does take some meditation. This is going to take faith to believe this. This is so amazing, so unbelievable, because everything in the world is based on what other people do and what they say, and you know. But this is God wanting to fill you up to overflowing with all that He is. And then not for you just to know about it, but for you to experience it in your daily life and to live it practically. Meaning so much so that love fills you up to overflowing, and it affects how you think. It affects what you say. It affects what you do. It affects your behavior. So He wants us rooted in that love, founded on that love. And so we've been praying that this week, praying that for you, whether you've been there or not, praying that for the church. And I believe our prayers are heard. And if He hears, I mean, God responds. And so I'm expecting these prayers, and I'm not the only one praying it, others in our agreement, I'm expecting this to come to pass. So you join us. Whether you can make it to the prayer time or not, you join us in praying this for each other, praying this for your family, praying this for your kids. And as you speak it, I mean, it will come to pass. Let's continue further. 1 John, Pastor Nate made reference to this. 1 John 4, verse 15, Message translation says this: everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son. Who's done that? Who's confessed Jesus is Lord? Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God. God is love. Everybody say God is love. He is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. Look at verse 19. We, though, are going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He first loved us. The New King James talks about knowing and believing the love. And so a good way, I mean, I don't know what if you're dealing with a financial issue right now. If you're dealing with a relationship issue, if you're dealing with something in your body, certainly go to those scriptures. And you know, we talk about launching our prayers from the platform of God's Word. You know, specifically go to those scriptures. But you can never go wrong by going to love scriptures. You can never, you know, go wrong meditating and thinking about God's love for us. You know, I love my kids, and I'm living on this earth. I love my kids and want to do all I can to be a blessing to them and to help them. But I can, you know, when they're younger, they really have no choice. But as they get older, they have a choice whether they want to receive my love. Right? And so we need to know about God's love. Know and get that understanding, get that revelation, and by faith receive it. And let it come into our lives. That's the thing that's going to change you. That's the thing that's going to be, that's what changed your spirit, man, was that love. But for it to continuous change, it's going to be through the love of God and having a revelation and an understanding of that love. So this is a daily thing. Okay, now we talked a lot about this, and so I don't want to keep going in this direction. But you have to know this is the foundation for us to love. This is the foundation for that love. It works in us. It fills us up. Just like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've seen that illustration where I have that cup and I fill it up and I don't stop at the brim. I keep on going. That the Spirit of God comes up upon you. It overflows. And it's the same way that love fills us up. God is love. It fills us up to overflowing, but then it can't help but come out and impact those around us. Our marriages, our families, our homes should be homes of love. Our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, teammates. And as I get into it in a minute here, in the church. So we have to have that revelation. And we're praying about it, we're speaking on it, we're thinking about it, we're meditating on it. And so now you are officially ready for Romans 5. Did you know that? Romans 5, verse 5. Such hope never disappoints, because, you know, we think about God's love. How's that going to work? How's that going to work for me to love others? It's a challenge, right? It's not easy to do. How's that going to work? Well, Romans 5:5 says this: such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That love has been poured, God's love has been poured into you. It's there right now. For those that are believers, that love has been poured out into you It's in you right now. So you don't have to muster up some kind of a supernatural love. That supernatural, miraculous love is there. We need to tap into it. He's not going to make you love anybody. He's not going to do it. It's available, but he's not going to be, we're not robots. The devil wants to control. He likes to, you know, talk about demon possession, drive and enslave and pressure and all that. But that's not what God does. God leads. He's gentle. He's tender. So we have a big part of it, and we decide if that supernatural love that's on the inside of us, that God's placed there, it's in you. Well, I just don't have that. I don't have it. No, that's a lie. You do have it. I just read it. You might not have tapped into it. You may not have allowed it to flow in your life, but it is there. So we decide, and you know, we have this this thermostat over here, and if I want to increase the heat, the power is there, the units are there, but I've got to go over there and adjust it. I'm the one that does the setting, right? So if you're going to want to heat it up in love, you're going to have to adjust the love setting in your life. You need to desire it. You need to want it. You need to expect it to be there and make a decision. Just like Deuteronomy says, you know, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he tells us what he thinks we should do to choose life, but you've got to choose it. So this supernatural love is set before us today, but you've got to choose every day whether you're going to walk in it and whether you're going to allow God's love that's in you flow through you. Now, John 13, let's turn over there. John 13. So I just want you to know something's happening here. Good news. It's not normal. I mean, it's very, and I'm not saying there's not selfishness in our prayers, but it's very unselfish prayer time we've had to be praying about these things. I'm not saying we haven't prayed about our needs and situations and all that, but this has been a focus of our prayer time. And so that just tells me God's got big things for us in 2018. And I know it's going to be victorious because love never fails. And I guess as sin abounds, which it is, grace abounds much more. So if hate is abounding, which we've seen in 2017, if you were to put we can have all kind of themes for like the church and our lives, but maybe for America or for the world, it's been a year of hate. Come on. A year of division. A year of strife. But that, and we've got to be careful that that doesn't creep into the church and creep into our homes, because the devil's doing everything he can to get hate and strife and division into your home. He doesn't like unity. He doesn't like harmony. He does everything he can to bring division. So we're going to be on guard here, because offense is coming. Strife is coming. The opportunity to be in strife is coming. The opportunity to be offended is coming. Maybe it's already come. you know, the counterattack. He comes immediately to steal the word. If we're talking about love and preaching about love and praying about love, we need to be prepared for him to come immediately to steal it. That's where we got to walk in our authority, and we got to recognize what's happening. So you already, you know, you good newsers, maybe you've already have experienced some of that counterattack already. Enemy doesn't like it. Doesn't like us coming together. Doesn't like us loving each other. John 13, verse 34. Now this is hard to believe. And so we got to be believers. Do I have any believers in the house today? I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Well, that's okay. Okay, we can do that. Just as I have loved you. What? I'm to love you just as he loves me? That's impossible. I mean, he laid his life down. He went to the cross. He took stripes on his back. He descended into hell. You should love one another just as I have loved you. So you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. So being a disciple, a follower of Christ, we should be examples of love. Not just having received it, but people should see it. And a place they should certainly see it, they should see it in our homes. But they should see it in the church. And I don't know, are they? Are we seeing it at Good News Church? They will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. So I just have to just warn you. I'm saying the spirit of the world is hate. The spirit of the world is strife and division and backbiting and offense and being touchy, being resentful, being jealous. That's the spirit of the world. And it is operating all around us, if you haven't noticed. Just watch the news media for an hour. Now, are we going to let the spirit of the world in here? Are we? Are we going to just conduct ourselves like everybody else? Are we going to be just like all the other Democrats and Republicans and independents? Or are we going to be different? We are called to be different. We are called to rise above the world. And God's given us all the equipment and the tools to do it. But it's up to us to choose to do it. You choose to control your mouth. You choose to control what you write on Facebook or any other social media. You choose what you say in your home. And I'm just saying, you need to watch it, and don't let the spirit of the world influence you and come on you, because if you do, it's going to bring not success, it's going to bring failure. There, you know, you on the internet, if you just read any kind of articles, don't do it. But if you do, read the comments. Oh my goodness. The hate. And of course, they don't use their real name. Why don't we start putting our real name and our address on there? Why? What we don't do, because we're afraid. We wouldn't say these things if people knew who we were in our address. So you're really basically a coward. I mean, pretty bold to say some of the, just, I mean every kind of cuss word. Just tearing them down, their argument, their thought, all they are. I mean, just, they don't even know the person, but I mean, they're just such hate. I'm telling you, that is not the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying it affects me, but that's not what I want. That's not what I'm believing for. That's not what I'm participating in. I've got one of the most boring social media accounts ever in the history of the world. Don't be my friend. You'll be bored. There's just no excitement there. No controversy. No drama. I'm sorry about that. But I'm trying to live this. And I'm not going to copy everybody else and the stupid things they do. I don't want to be like that. And I'm called, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer, to a higher standard. Are y'all glad you came today, or you wish you would have slept in? I mean, this is rubber meets the road kind of messages. This is the maximum love setting. And again, we change the dial. Love one another as Jesus has loved us. And we never arrive, the setting, you may change it right now and make it higher, but you never, it can always get higher until Jesus comes. You're never fully going to tap into all that supernatural love, that miraculous love, but we can mature and grow, and we should be every year maturing and growing and being better. And God will help you in that if you desire it. The world, the lost, should see it in our homes. They should come into our home and see something different. They should come in here and see, and it's not the way we treat the lost, and we should love them and give life and preach the gospel, but they should see it by our relationships with each other. This is where we practice. This is where we practice for the game. And of course, it's not perfect, and everything's not going to go perfect. There's going to be mistakes made, but how do we handle those mistakes? Do we follow the Spirit of God or do what the world does? Paul prays the love to be revealed in our hearts. He prays that it may flow out of us into the lives of those around us. And so he prayed about having a revelation of God's love. Now Philippians 1 verse 9, he's praying about you operating in that love. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. We should be praying this for each other. And extend to its fullest development the knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. Did you say you got a revelation on Philippians 1 today? Did you want to share it? You don't have to. I'm putting you on the spot. Totally just unplanned. Did you want to share something about this? Do, 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 do. You don't have to. I was giving you some time. Yes. Do you want to?
You're very silly, man.
Just for a minute, Susie, share some things.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, Philippians 1, 9. It's written to the church at Philippi. What is the Eddie, you know this. What does Philippians 4 talk about? All of our needs being met. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But if you have read that chapter, which I'm hoping Eddie has read it. He's talking to a church. If you read in chapter 4, it's not just any church he's talking to when he says, my God shall supply all your need. Who's he talking to, Eddie? He's talking to a church that had communicated with him in both giving and receiving. This is a test for Eddie, sorry. Just picking on him. He's my brother. I like to get him when I can, you know. That's love, right? In chapter 4, it talks about this is a church. He's writing to a church that obviously loves. Because love, one sign of love, according to John chapter 3 and verse 16, is that giving comes out of loving. And the Bible talks about in Philippians 4 that this church had repeatedly given to Paul, even above and beyond what they had themselves. You know, they had given out of, they had been partners with him and had given and had given to him. So they obviously were a church of love. But in this chapter of one, this church he's writing to, he's saying to them, a church who's demonstrated love, he's saying to them. So he's not talking about people who haven't shown love, who don't know anything about love, people who don't have any insight into God's love. He's talking to people who know love, and he says to them that your love may abound yet more and more. And when I read that today back in pre-service prayer when we're praying this morning, I just realized that's how Good News Church is. I know you're a loving church. We're not talking to people who don't love. You know about love. You have loved. But to you, he would say, that your love would abound yet more and more. Not just to anybody, but even to you. It's interesting that the four major prayers of Paul in the New Testament, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, two of those four prayers, the major theme of those prayers is the love of God. Ephesians 3, Philippians 1. They're all about the love of God. But I want you to see what it says. It says that all that you would extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. Go to verse 10. So that, this is what I saw. I've never seen this before. He's saying that love would abound and we'd see more and more so that the result of love abounding more and more is that you would surely learn to sense what is vital. This is one of my favorite verses, y'all. This whole idea of what's vital is huge to me. Should be to you. I want to know what's vital so that you may learn to sense what is vital. Y'all, we aren't going to ever know what's vital unless love abounds. Everybody thinks they're so smart. Everybody thinks they know what's going on. But if the love of God isn't abounding in you, you'll never know what is vital. Why? Because love is what is vital. And love, what love does, love values people as more precious than any other thing. And that is what is vital. And I just see this so much. Even in the church, and y'all, let's don't talk about the world. The love of God's not been shed abroad in their heart. But in the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to think about this. In Jesus' day when he walked, he came across a woman on the Sabbath day. The Bible says she was bent over and she could not lift herself up. Y'all remember the story? There's this woman and she's been over and she can't lift herself up. And the Bible says she'd been in this condition for how long? Does anybody know? 18 years a woman had walked like this. And Jesus comes across her, happens to come across her on their Sabbath, their holy day. And he comes across her and he sees her. And his thought, because he's love himself, he knows what is vital. His first thought is, this woman ought to be loosed. But he's surrounded by religious people, the Pharisees, right? Supposed to be God's people, right? Church people. Here he sees a woman who's bent over. He's love. He's abounding in love. He's sensing what's vital. And as he's seeing this woman, he thinks this woman ought to be loosed. And so he just does what love would do. He reaches out to free her. Right? But those who surround him, in whom the love of God is not abounding, what do? They get angry. And they say, you shouldn't be doing this. You aren't supposed to do things like this on the Sabbath. Well, y'all, if you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath, when are you supposed to heal people? So ridiculous how screwed up our thinking can be. But see, here's the deal. Those Pharisees were more interested and thought the law and the rule of the law and the letter of the law was more vital than this woman's well-being. But the love of God says this woman's well-being is far more vital than the rule, than your interpretation of God's law. They miss the interpretation of the law because it's love is what God is about. And so that's what they offered to the people, is they said he's doing the wrong thing. And they're all angry and coming against him because he had healed a woman out of love. He had healed her on the Sabbath and they were angry. Now here for you and me is the lesson in this. If the love of God doesn't abound in us, we will become religious, law keeping, condemning, nobody in the world wants one thing to do with you, people. And sadly, that's what many in the body of Christ have become and what we're famous for. Because the only way we will sense what is vital is this love is abounding in us. Because that is the heart of what is vital. What love is interested in, what love wants to produce, what love wants to do, to serve and to bring freedom and well-being of others is before our own well-being even. This woman being free is more important than the rule and the way we've interpreted it to be. So this sensing what is vital and approving and prizing what is excellent and of real value and recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, all of that is tied to the love of God. Now, I'll just say to you, we are in a real, real predicament in our country politically. But I'm going to tell you, your politics is not going to, if you let it govern your life, you'll miss what is vital. Let me say it that way. You'll miss what is vital. Because there's no party that has, you know, the corner has cornered what is vital. Nobody, none of man's system, no political system has cornered what is vital, only the kingdom of God. And God is, he is love, and he has shed abroad love, and what he sees as most important is not what anyone in the world or in the world system sees is what is most important and what is vital. And if you allow any kind of policy of anything around you to dictate to you what is vital, you will miss what is truly vital. Because love is what determines what is vital. Love tells us this is what is best. And the only way we can know what is really best is by walking in love, is by letting love abound in us. And love has to be our motivation. And the love of God has to be what we start with and what we stay with and what we end with. It has to be the love of God. And the love of God says others first. And the love of God says people are more precious than any other thing. Because every person on planet Earth, everyone is worth the blood of Jesus. Not just you and your kinfolk, but every person. And if you don't get a hold of that and understand that, you will never know what is vital.
I knew she could pull it off. I got faith. All right, one more scripture and we'll call it a day and we'll pray and we'll follow whatever else the Lord has. 1 John 3, verse 14. You know, these are, you know, the apostle of love is John. 1 John 3, verse 14, message. The way we know we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see your brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. My dear children, this is really good here. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. Not just words, practice it. This is the only way we'll know we're living in God's reality. Now, I just did a little study on the word hate. And first, let me say this. I'm a student of history, and so I've studied this country, specifically the United States, a lot of different things I've read about it. And it was very divisive at the very foundation of our country. One of the election between Jefferson and Adams was one of the nastiest in history. You know, the difference being is it was only white men that could vote. And they only had the newspapers and pamphlets to spew hate. So that was a little bit of difference because not everybody could read, and so it was a little different situation, but it was nasty, it was ugly, it was tearing down character, and these are between two people that were friends that founded the nation together. So none of this is new. It's just that we have, I think, so many more outlets right now. I mean, I can carry this around with me. I can be looking at things all day long. And so that makes a big difference. But this word hate, obviously hate is the opposite of love. But look at some of the definitions of the word hate. To regard with disgust. Don't even try to welcome or accept someone. Deep-seated animosity. Intense or passionate dislike. Of all the different words, that was one of the main things that came out over and over. Intense or passionate dislike. And then here's how it manifested when you hate somebody. And obviously hate leads to murder. Hate leads to violence. That's what the enemy certainly wants. But here's an indicator that you're moving towards hate towards someone. They're constantly on your mind. You can't stop talking about them, which is not me not saying good things. And it brings out the worst in you. Those are some indicators that you're moving towards hate. And, you know, I'll read again here. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. Enemy's going to do all he can to get hate in you. And I don't care what anybody's done to us, we're not to hate. And that's what Satan wants to get you into that situation. So much so that now you're going to act in violence. So, that was an ending on a sober note there. But do you hate anybody? And this would be a good reflection about your day. And maybe we can pick this up now as we're heading into the next week of our prayer time. And something to reflect on is every day start thinking, how's my love walk? Have I walked in love today? And not just, you know, the words, but let's look actually at our actions. If someone were to following us around and we're going to record all of our actions and all of our words, would those be words and actions of love? Would it reflect you as a disciple and a follower of Christ? I think that would be a good thing to do on a daily basis. And I think that would bring real change, because we give ourselves a lot of credit for walking in love. How does it go? We judge others by their behavior. We judge others by their words and their actions, but we judge ourselves by our good intentions. We give ourselves a lot of credit for our intentions, not our actions. And actions is where that's the real deal. And so in 2018, I want to grow in my actions. Not that I can quote you 1 Corinthians 13, and I've got it on my wall, or even that I confess it, but I want to see it in my life, in the way that I treat people, the way in my marriage, at my home, wherever I go about my day. And if we're going to make a difference in this world, this is going to be a key. So right now, let's stand, everybody. I just saw this happening, and then I'll see if anybody else has got anything. I just saw as far as at the end of the service, just maybe it's repenting. I don't know. Maybe you have someone in your life that you hate. Maybe you have some people that you have unforgiveness. And again, I'm not saying it can be resolved all today. Maybe it can. I mean, I've had God do amazing things. But there are some things going to take some time. But you've got to give God some space to work. And so I'm just trying to give God some space here. You have got to let that go. And you've done this before. And you've gotten forgiveness. But you go home and you pick it right back up. And you start talking about it again. That's not letting it go. If it's not out of your mind and out of your words, you've not made a change. And again, I'm not saying this is easy. This is hard. You're going to need God's help. And we're doing all we can here at Good News Church to foster and encourage that help, but it's going to be up to you, and it's going to be up your heart. And so one of the things that I've been praying about in just maybe the last several days of prayer is, they have all these things about open doors to other people, but I was just praying about the open door in my heart. Lord, that I would be open to you, and that I would be humble. And I know I do. I know I've got areas I've got to change, but Lord, help me to change. Help me to make those changes. And if I'm not treating people right, and certainly Susie, I mean, she's the most important thing in my world besides Jesus and my kids and others. But I'll tell you one, this is a good place to practice. Let's practice. Let's help each other. Let's pray for each other. But this would be a good time to begin the process of letting some things go that have just been hanging around. You've been letting it, and I understand. You've been letting it hang around. And Satan's been working with you on that. But his ultimate goal is not so you have something vital, it's so that you'll have death. Because it's going to bring destruction. It's going to bring negative things in your life. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as leader here of Good News Church, Lord, I just come before you. I just come before you, Father, bow my knees before the God of heaven, the Father of Jesus Christ, the one that loves us with unfailing love, that loved us so much that he sacrificed his only son for us in a violent manner. Was he sacrificed? And then what's even worse than all of that is he descended into hell. I mean, there's just no way to even put words to that. But Father, we just come before you. And I'm just asking, praying for my brothers and sisters, that we just let go of hate. That we let go of bitterness. That we let go of offense. Lord, that we may be forgivers. And it doesn't mean we got to be big buddies with certain people, but we need to forgive. and we need to let it go so much that it shows in our words, in our actions, in our behavior. So today, Father, we do that. We begin that process of letting it go. I choose to forgive. I choose to release that person of punishment. I choose to let it go. Now I'm asking for your help, Lord. Help me, Father, to live that out in my daily life. And Father, if there's people here today that are believers and they've just not even turned the dial on the love setting, may today be a day they begin that process, Father. Pray that they would do that. Pray that they would abound in love more and more. Pray that they would have a revelation of your great love, Father. And that they would be people wholly filled with your miraculous love, and know that they are and walk in that. Lord, change us. Change this church. Let this church be an example of love. Love one for another. Let there be forgiveness, Lord, and give us the boldness to step out and to receive it, to give it, to humble ourselves, Father, and let things go. Let us start off 2018 by letting things go. So we thank you for it. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We had something amazing happen. One of the most significant things, I think, you know, in my 20 years of ministry, a longtime member came to me after the service in the last few weeks and said, it was during the worship time, was praying about, the song was about turning it around, or God can turn it around, and they realized they had been harboring unforgiveness towards another member of the church for years, and went to that person during the service and asked for forgiveness. I mean, that to me is amazing. I was in tears when I was told. I mean, it just impacted me. You know, as pastor of Good News Church, I mean, that just, you know, that touches me. That someone would humble themselves like that and say, hey, I've missed it. I've made a mistake. I've been harboring this. And then to go and actually talk to that person, that takes a lot of guts. And so there is this prayer for each other for boldness, because, I'll tell you this, when you do something like that, and if you're sincere, I'm not just saying just to do something because we're talking about it and you emotionally want to do it. I'm just saying when you make a commitment to do something like that, that's going to have significant impact in your life. I'm serious. That's a game changer. The enemy has done all they could do to feed that and make that bigger and make it into a mountain that cannot be removed. But I'll tell you, God's bigger. So that just was really encouraging to me as we begin 2018. That is as significant as any healing or provision testimony, or even going to a nation and ministry. That is significant to me and very encouraging. And I'm expecting more of that to happen. And I'll just start with me. I mean, I don't have anything against anybody here, but I just open my door. If you've got a problem with me, come talk to me and I'll listen. I won't get mad. Maybe just a little bit. Come talk to me, because I don't want that to be between us. Because anytime that division, it hinders us. God's power works through agreement. And it works through unity and harmony. So praise God. I know this is a deep service, but that's okay. We need that. We've been praying all week. So I'm going to turn it over to someone else. Who's got anything else?
I have one thing. There is at least one person here. I think it's more than one, though. You have been seeking God for direction and for wisdom, and it seems like you get some for a while, and then it kind of gets cloudy and mixed up again, and then you see a straight piece in front of you, and then it's sort of like, and you have not been able to really just get the wisdom you need and walk in it. And I just want you to know from the Lord today, it's because of your love life, your love of others. You, just like we read in the scriptures there in the first chapter of Philippians, you're not going to be able to know and sense God's leading and His direction and to know what is vital unless love is abounding in you. You can't get wisdom and all that it has for you and what it produces in your life, which Proverbs says is long life and treasure, riches. And those things are produced through God's direction in your life and knowing what to do from Him, wisdom. But you can't get that and not be a person of love. You can't be in unforgiveness, and you can't be a person who is going about offending others. And so I think we should all, if that bears witness with you at all, I think today is a good day to make a turn from that. I think that's what we just heard. That's the day to get this straight. And then the other side of it is, Matt was talking about you being offended, but some of us, we know we've offended others. We know that we have done wrong to others, and we haven't made that right. And if you have done wrong to others, and you say, well, how do I know if I've done wrong? Well, God's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. He'll convict you. If you feel that conviction, like maybe you avoid people, you don't want to see them, you don't call them, you don't go around them anymore, you don't want to have anything to do with them, or you're just a little bit, you just shy away from them because you know that there's something between you and it's on you. The devil uses that as guilt and shame against you. But I tell you, there's freedom. What's the freedom? The Bible's answer to that is confession. You go to them and you confess your fault. You say, hey, I messed up. I didn't walk in love. I didn't love you properly. I put me first. I said things. I regret those. I feel bad about it. You know, not trying to justify it, but just make things right. Look, we all have sinned. So it's not like big news. We know already you've fallen short. Just fess up and make it right. And restore. And reconcile. These are Bible words. Come back together. Let that fault be mended between you. So I'll just pray for you, and then I'm going to turn it to Nate. Father, hallelujah. If you're there, you can just pray yourself. Father, I pray for us all to have courage and boldness if we need to go to someone and ask for forgiveness. If we need to go to someone and say, hey, we fell short. We did something we shouldn't have done. We hurt you. We sure weren't showing God's love to you that day. We repent. We turn from that. Father, I thank you for giving us the boldness to do that, to make things right. And we know that you are the God of restoration, and that you can bring restoration and healing in our relationships. You can bring us back into a place of reconciliation with each other so that we can walk together with one heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.